Welcome to Drinks at Work from Boothby with Sam Bygrave. That is me. For any bar to turn 5 years old is quite a feat. The bar business is a notoriously difficult business. But the bars which do turn 5 years old this year have had a rougher time of things than most. In their first year, they had to contend with the arrival of COVID and a wave of lockdowns. That's what Jamie Fleming's first bar, Alba Bar in Delhi, had to contend with 9 months after it opened. And I speak to him on this episode about reaching the five-year milestone. Alba actually turns 5 years old today, so congratulations to Jamie and the team there. They've built something really special. But Jamie also talks to me on this episode about how the bar has evolved over the years, what has remained the same, and why making a bar concept unique is essential. I'm a big fan of Alba, and it's a bar I visit on any trip to Brisbane, and I'll certainly be visiting Alba when the Bartenders Weekender rolls into town in just under 2 months. If you haven't yet heard, Bartenders Weekender is a 3-day festival for bartenders and drink nerds in Brisbane from June 16 to 18 this year. And it's something that Penny Sippy and myself are putting on to celebrate all things bars and drinks. I'm really looking forward to seeing people come to Brisbane to check out the bar scene there and places like Alba Bar in Delhi. And a key part of the schedule is the Better Bars Summit, presented by Glenfiddich, which will see 22 speakers talking across 2 days and sharing insights into all facets of opening and running great bars. You can get early bird tickets for that now. Visit bartendersweekender.com for more information. It's going to be a great long weekend for bartenders after the June long weekend, and I hope to see you there. Okay, let's get into my chat now with Jamie Fleming. Jamie Fleming, welcome to Drinks at Work from Boothby.
Thanks, mate. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's a pleasure to talk to you. It's been a while.
Yeah, I think it has been. I think we were on a panel the last time we were together. So,
yeah, that was. I think that was the end. Was the last panel of the night too. So things were getting lively.
Yeah, the crowd was getting spicy. It was pretty funny.
Yeah, not the panelists at all.
No.
Hey, we're talking because Alba Bar in Delhi, the bar you opened up in Brisbane, in Burnett Lane up there, 2019? It's turning 5 years old this month, right? When's the birthday?
It is. 23rd of this month, which is wild considering what the 5 years has given us. But yeah, 5 years. It seems I've had a lot more hair and a few less... less smile lines, let's call them. But pretty wild, very, very proud of the team we've got and everything that we've done.
Yeah. Well, look, it's always a stop for me whenever I'm in town. I like myself some sherry and some jamon and some hip hop. Let's talk about it. Let's do a little check in with, 5 years into Alba Bar and Delhi's reign. You've won some awards in that time. You've been featured on international lists like the Tales of the Cocktail Spirit Awards, regional lists and all that sort of stuff. But I want to just start with like a quote from when we first talked about this place back in 2019. I was doing a story for Bartender Magazine about what was to be expected. And you said, the key driving idea for me is three of my favorite things, sherry, jamon, and hip hop. You can call it a Pinchos bar or a deli if you want, but I'm trying to open something that stays true and authentic to me, and as long as I do that, I'll be happy. So the question, Jamie, is, are you happy?
I mean, yeah, I am, absolutely. And I think I think that the meaning behind those three things, it's no longer just a selfish adventure, although sometimes even I walk in, I'm like, far out, okay. But I think that the meanings of those things
for?
Have changed. Yeah, exactly. Apart from myself, but apparently other people too. No, I think the meaning of those things has changed a little bit for me. And I think they become really sort of strong pillars of what we do as opposed to just like me being me. Jamon is no longer jamon isn't just about quality, and time. Like in terms of an ingredient, but it's actually about like quality and time from a service perspective and from a guest experience perspective. Hip hop, as much as it's all we play, it's more actually about the neighborhood and the community and really loving and representing where you are and making sure that you have a hub in the middle of the CBD that feels like you're part of a community, which I think is what the sort of one of the bases of hip hop is. Then Jerez. Like the sherry for me is like, it's still, I mean, as much as all of us you know, all of said cocktail nerds love to chuck it in absolutely everything, I think it's still relatively underrated. But I think it's the amount of care and attention and like sherry is just something that's somewhat undiscovered, but isn't like it's still unbelievable. And it's something a little bit left of center than what you might expect from an inner city like little spot. So I mean, it's certainly not the first three things to be like, like quality, community, and something a little bit different as our pillars. But I think they actually tie into that first t-shirt and that first slogan really well. And I think we've held pretty true to it.
Yeah. How deliberate was their planning around those kind of pillars at the start? Or was it just, I like this stuff, I want to open a bar around this? Because you've had a fair bit of experience over the years. You've worked in the brand side of things as well. You know, you're not like just a newbie at this kind of thing.
No. I've been doing this industry for a while. The way that the pillars have developed have probably changed slightly or evolved, let's say. But I think realistically, if you whatever venue you go to, like wherever your favorite venue is in the world, bar, restaurant, like whatever it is, there is a clear concept and they try to execute that concept to the best of their ability. And I think having a really solid identity is one of the key things. Like you go to, you know, think about like Cantina OK or, the Baxter Inn or, you know, Black Pearl or, you know, any of these places that have like been the very top of the game, Bulletin Place, that they are undoubtedly, this is what we do and we do it to the best of our ability and that's it. So I think it's just having a, like you need to treat the venue like a person. Like, is this a person I want to hang out with? You know, and that person needs their own identity. Like, you know what, you don't want to hang around a shit guy.
Yeah. No one wants to hang out with that shit guy. No. Have you ever been tempted to sort of move things away from those original three ideas at the start over the course of these 5 years?
Yeah, man. 100%.
Tell me about that.
I think that the particularly in the early days, and then obviously like, you know, that time that shall not be named, but there were plenty of times when you just, when you have such a clear understanding of what you're putting forward and you know, because you know, but if you know that it's like a little bit jarring or a little bit obnoxious or like have no doubt Alba is super welcoming. But that comes down to our service and that comes down to the people and the community that we've created to create that. I can understand how people still walk in at, you know, 5 o'clock on a Friday afternoon for after work drinks for the first time and there's like a few people rolling around in snapbacks and sneakers serving food playing Wu-Tang. Like, if you're, you know, 40 something, 50 something, you know, so and so from the office around the corner, there's a potential that you're like, oh, I don't know if this vibe's for me. But what's really interesting is it takes 2 seconds to flip that completely. And one of the real interesting things that we've seen from that is with the new venue up in Mullaney, relatively older clientele, but we have some people that absolutely love us and are in here all the time. And kind of similar vibe, like it's a little bit against the grain for this area. But we've had people from up here that are, you know, retirees that they're like, oh, you know, we're going to see our daughter or we're going to see our son in Brisbane. We're going to take them to Alba. And they come up and inherently it's always the music was a little bit loud and not necessarily to our taste, but the food and the service was so amazing and we would love, we can't wait to go back.
Yeah.
So there's.
That's interesting, isn't it?
Yeah, our key offering has always been the food and drink and quality in food and drink and not hiding behind anything and big obnoxious flavors. I think that the one carry through that we've always had between our offering and what we sort of project is the fact that we don't hide behind who we are. I and my team have always, we love big punch you in the face flavors, whether that's from a drinks perspective or a food perspective. And we're not scared to do that. And likewise, I'm not scared to have my team come in, be the most them they could possibly be, and work in an environment that really promotes that. So we do listen to hip hop, we do listen to loud music, and we do, you know, love shit that's a bit left of center. But you know what? We're still great. We're still great people, and we want to give you a little bit of what we see in what we do.
Yeah, well, I think there's something to that sort of big punchy flavor. It's kind of, you know, the music can be a bit loud, that sort of thing. It does sort of all fit together in a way. I wonder how much of the identity that you've built has been that going against the grain a bit. And is that important to stand out in a sea of bars just doing, you know, bar stuff?
Look, I think so. You know, my first bar manager ever, shout out to Matt Black, who will never listen to this. But fair enough. He was like, you know what, Jamie, just whatever you do, good or bad, just be memorable. No one wants to be forgotten.
Yeah. Well, this is super important, right? There is so much competition out there right now. You look at how many bars open up these days. There's a bar opening up every other week.
Yeah.
You've got to stand out. You've got to be memorable at least.
You have to. And the little, like, and those little things count. And, you know, that little thing, it's very easy to coast through life.
Yeah.
And it's very easy to just like be in the motion, and you're still going to have a great time. You're probably going to end up at a bar you've been to a million times, but you're with your friends, which is the important bit.
Yeah.
And that's all fine. But like when it comes down to, you know the first time you walk through the roller door at Cantina, or you know the first time you have the pate cannoli at Bar Bellamy. Like there's these little bits where you're like, far out, I wasn't expecting that. And then sort of everything encompassing it. So it's that little shock can actually just make you go, you know, I mean, that's a marketing strategy. Not that I've really ever really thought about it from that perspective, but you know, there's studies out there that say marketers will put a spelling mistake in the start of copy to make sure that people actually read it, because like there's an incentive for people to continue reading. Otherwise you just browse. Like
that's what I do with Boothby all the time, my friend. That's why every spelling mistake is intentional.
I knew there was a reason.
Well, because it does seem to be sort of hard times out there for hospitality at the moment. There's a bit of a narrative going around that, you know, things are more difficult than they've ever been. There's a lot of restaurants closing and that kind of thing. What has been the key to Alba's longevity thus far, do you think?
I think taking opportunities when they come.
What does that mean?
Well, so, I mean, obviously the biggest sort of thing that put a dampener on, you know, like COVID shutdowns happened when Alba was 9 months or 10 months old.
Yeah.
It was pretty grim. You know, you're just coming out of, because we're a CBD bar, you know, you're just coming out of what is a relatively quiet, like lead up to Christmas, hammered. But then particularly in Queensland, as soon as Christmas hits, everyone's got a house up the coast or down the coast, but from our clientele anyway, a majority of them. And then the tourist trade that's coming to Queensland isn't coming to Brisbane. They're going to the Sunshine Coast or the Gold Coast. Have such a long amount of the beautiful beaches. They're not going to be in the city for very long anyway. So you're going through this sort of January period that's always pretty cruisy, finally getting back into the swing of things, and then shutdown happens. So when that happens, obviously everyone's like pivot, do this, blah, 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 blah. And that's all great. But for a model that is designed like us, where you have a drink in one hand and a snack in the other, it's pretty hard to replicate that in everyone's house. And so much of it's time sensitive and, you know, there's a whole lot of issues with that. But I think when we're coming out of it, because we're small and because, you know, of my skill set, when they said you can open for 10 people, at that stage it was just myself and Dave Brosnan. And I was like, cool, we're going to do it. And we just, like, I was in the kitchen and we were back to, it was like starting again. And you were doing the 16-hour days and just in there prepping a full menu every day. You'd have run a menu for, you know, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, two sittings each, and try and make the most money you can. And there was a lot of places that didn't have that opportunity because the outlay to get going is so high when you have a massive venue. So we were doing high quality food in a space that with 10 people, if you do it properly, can feel welcoming and sort of full and alive, which is
it
all
could still feel want. Really special, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Mate,
I wouldn't mind the experience of just 10 people in Alba and having that one-on-one experience with you doing pans and cooking food and making drinks and everything. I think there's something special to that.
Yeah. Like, I think the first dinner for 10 that we did coming out of that, I'll never forget it. It's one of my favorite services ever. And a group of 10 guys came in full tuxedos and they asked, we had tables set. And they're like, they are specifically like, can we please sit at the bar? And we'd just tapped a new keg and three of them cried. Like it was all just like such a thank God. But they were in like, it was amazing. They came in heavy and it was great. So when I say taking opportunities,
that's brilliant. In Texas, I love it.
Yeah, absolutely. But when I say taking opportunities, like little things like that. And then, you know, the other things like, you know, it's been great that we've had great success down at Bar Awards and been recognized and all of these things. But that only comes through just like putting ourselves out there and trying to be part of the conversation as much as we can. And I guess, you know, giving people another reason to look at Brisbane. I mean, the amount of people, travelers that we get coming through that are up for business and they're from Melbourne or from Sydney in general. And we're like, oh, you know, how'd you hear about us? And it's we go to this bar and three of the bartenders said, if you're in Brisbane, you need to go there. So that's like, it's for me, I've always been a big proponent of industry connection and doing as much for each of like for the whole community as you can and putting yourself out there as much as possible. And, you know, we see that, like we see it come back in tenfold just by, and then, you know, the amount of lists that I've written of, hey, here's the 5-6 spots that you need to go to if you're in this area. Oh, you're going down to Melbourne? Cool. Go see these people. And I'm a big believer in that. And then, and we've reaped the rewards. So, you know, that any opportunity that's come up where we can potentially do a takeover or work with a brand or work with another bar or, you know, whatever it is, there's plenty of ways to get your name out there. And I think that we've just become a bit of a stalwart in the hospitality community. And, you know, that's testament from people coming through the door sent by other bars, but it's also testament to the fact that anytime there's like a whiskey live or, you know, what will be the bartender weekender, we're never super stressed about like making sure we put on a massive event because we know that we're going to be the first port of call for a lot of people, which is a really nice feeling.
Yeah, you're definitely my first port of call there. I like it when you're open during the day because I can go see you guys first, get some food into me and my fill of sherry for the day, and then I'm on my way. What was the reception like in the Brisbane scene when you guys opened, and has that, I guess, changed a bit? I mean, it seems strange now, but at the time doing sherry and Hamon and hip-hop and the way you were doing, it's probably something that wouldn't be too out of place in a Sydney, in the Surry Hills or in Fitzroy in Melbourne. But for Brisbane at that time, there wasn't too much like that. Has that evolved over the last 5 years?
Our offerings definitely evolved. You know, when we first opened, we were pretty dedicated to the, you know, everything on the menu was under $15 because they were all like one or two bites. It was designed like have this cocktail and have a couple of these snacks, have this, you know, little cannoli and have this or whatever it was, plate of jamon. And that was the idea. It was we wanted people to taste as many of the things as possible over the course of their night. And obviously COVID rules changed that a little bit. You know, that ability for massive amounts of interaction and people sitting at the bar and sharing, talking and sharing ideas and, you know, being like, oh, what's that to the people sitting next to them on sort of more share environment tables, that definitely changed a bit. So, and also, you know, the market was asking for, you know, some more substantial things. So they're all still shared.
Right.
But, I guess the menu has changed a little bit, and I think that you know, a couple other things have done as well. And it's just, you work within, you can't be completely tone deaf to the market. So
yeah,
I think in the beginning when there was a fair bit of excitement around us opening, I think a lot of people came in, and that shock for a lot of people at the start, because we did get a fair bit of media within street press and obviously from people like yourself. You know, there was a bit of a buzz about it, and it definitely helped that we were opening next to like Marty Lang and myself took the leases together, essentially, for him for Death and Taxes and me next door. So there was a fair bit of buzz around that. And
yeah.
Like it was opportunistic, but I think people were really ready to see something like Death and Taxes, where they're like, oh wow, this is like a beautiful library of whiskey and, you know, leather bound books and fireplaces and blah, 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 blah. You know, they were ready for that. And I think Brisbane loves that. They do love that. And I think
it's a whiskey town.
Yeah, it is a whiskey town. And so I think when, you know, I was talking to Marty, he's like, oh yeah, we're painting this black and it's all dark wood and dark leather. That almost guided me a little bit more to be like, cool, well, I'm painting the walls white and we're using plywood everywhere. And it was purely for that juxtaposition. but so it was a little bit of a shock, but yeah. I think we've always had such good support from the hospo community. And again, we've always backed ourselves. As soon as if you get through the door, like, we'll keep you. That's the point.
Yeah.
You know, funny. I spent my whole career working under the guise of, you know, you can never control how many people come through the door. You can just control whether they come back. And for me, that's always been like, that's how you serve. Like, you're inviting someone into your house, they're a guest, look after them and they will come back, because what you do, if you back yourself and back what you do, then you're all good. But I suppose now I'm on the other end of it, where it's like, I'm sort of responsible for getting people through the door now and maintaining that. So it's a little bit of a different challenge.
Do you do any marketing? What's the media scene up there like for that sort of thing? Is it how do you stay front of mind for Brisbane punters when you've been around for a while and there's new bars opening up?
I think that a lot of it is just on retention. Our return rate is enormous, and the amount of we've got people that are in 3-4 times a week, and not a small amount. And they're not like bar flies. They're people that come in and they bring guests and they bring clients and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And it's a fine line to push of making sure that we still feel like we're a little hidden gem, but it's pretty hard to be said hidden gem when you've been around for 5 years. And I think that word of mouth is our best friend, and it purely comes from those personalities at the front. And, you know, Cecile, I've been working at the new shop a fair bit since we've opened, and just trying to guide as much as I can. But it's all down to the team that we've had. And Cecile at the forefront of it now is, I think she's unbelievable. Like,
she does a great job.
Yeah, she's taken what, you know, I built and made it her own and tightened it up, and it's still an expression of her as well as me now.
Yeah. Is she more professional than you, Jamie?
It's not hard, Sam.
I want to talk to you about sherry as well, right? Because sherry's a thing that we both love.
Yeah.
Is sherry still a big focus for the bar?
It's still definitely something we love, and it's something that we always have. We certainly don't have the list that we had at the start. But at the same time, I think that's sort of everything, right? Like, at the beginning of any bar that I've ever been part of, it's always like, more is better. Like, oh, we've got 1,000 rums, or we've got 500 rums, or we've got 2 million whiskeys, or whatever it is. and we, you know, at the start, I was in the same mindset. I'm like, yes, we're sherry. This is what we do. We're going to have like 20 by the glass, and everyone's going to want to drink them, and I'm going to change everyone's mind. And then you start paying bills, mate. So yeah, it's not.
Well, I don't think anyone's been able to change people's minds about sherry just yet. You know, it's still that drink that's about to happen, and like Riesling, yeah. You know.
Yeah, exactly. It's about to happen. Yeah. But it's, you know, it's. I think the amount of people that see it as an option now, and not just why are these guys doing this, is pretty interesting. And that's not just from hospitality people. That's across the board. Like, we have people coming in that are just like, cool, well, we definitely want some oysters. So can we start with whatever sherry you recommend? And then we'll have a bottle of wine with dinner. And then afterwards we might have like a little digestivo that's based around sherry as well. And obviously we still use sherry and Apera a lot in our cocktails. There's always that line there. And it's always something that it's definitely still there. But it's certainly not like it was at the start when you were trying to like make that your thing, you know?
Yeah, gotcha. Yeah. Yeah. Well, what's the split like these days then? Like sort of percentage of cocktails to wine and sherry and beer and that sort of thing?
Wine and cocktails are pretty big. I would say that because of the food element, a lot of people, and it's daily specific as well, like afternoons and just after work, a lot of beers and glasses of wine.
Yeah.
Dinner time, generally more wine and maybe a couple of cocktails before and after. But then, you know, as soon as sort of that Friday afternoon, some days you just get hammered and there'll be like a person in the world. I remember Cal Moore one night, he made some ungodly amount of margaritas and we didn't even have a margarita on the list at the time. But, so, you know, you just have to sort of roll with it. We definitely have our times, like late at night on a Friday and Saturday is definitely cocktail heavy. Music's a little louder, lights are a little lower. You know, there's not as much food going out because people are sort of there to party. But it's pretty seamless in the way that it moves across. And, you know, the amount of people that come in for a quick, you know, tin of anchovies, a vermouth and a beer in the afternoon is probably balanced out by the amount of people coming in for a bottle of wine with dinner. So,
yeah.
We've managed to keep the split of food and drink and then even across category of drink pretty even. And it's because people know that if they come in, that's what they get. And it's all quality.
Before I get onto like the sort of drinks at work questions I like to ask, for the fifth birthday, are you doing anything to celebrate it? What's happening for that?
Yeah, we will be. It'll be the Tuesday before Anzac Day. So that's going to be a bit of fun.
Holy shit.
Yeah. Watch this space. There'll definitely be something out very shortly and we'll start promoting it soon. But it'd be remiss of us not to celebrate a five-year achievement. Like 5 years for a bar is absolutely wild.
Absolutely.
I can't even put across how like amazed and proud I am of what we've done.
Yeah. It's a big achievement, right? And bar years are kind of like dog years. Yeah. You've probably aged about 20 years in the last 5 years.
Easily.
Yeah, they're not coming back, Jamie. I hate to break it to you.
Thanks, man.
All right. Well, we've got a couple of drinks at work questions that I'd like to ask of everyone on the podcast. The first one, Jamie, is more professional, and then the second one is a bit more personal. But so what do you look for in a great bar? With your professional eye, when you're walking into a new joint, what are the hallmarks of a really great bar? And the second part to that question, the personal part, is what makes you happy in a bar?
First things I look for in a bar are being acknowledged. It's the easiest thing, you know, say hello.
Makes a world of difference.
100%. It's like as soon as you feel like you've been noticed, and it doesn't have to be elaborate, it can be eye contact or, you know, a quick wave or like, I'll be right with you, whatever it is. Just being acknowledged. People want to know that they have been acknowledged. I hate standing at the front. Please wait to be seated. And you stand there for 35 seconds, which feels like 10 minutes. And you're like, I'm out of here. This sucks. But yeah, so being acknowledged.
Yeah, it makes you feel like an idiot.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, why aren't I as important as your mate that you're talking to? Like, it's ridiculous. But being acknowledged and then lighting and sound, like, people immediately know when a venue is too bright or too dark. And it's not that they know that that's what it is, but they know something's off. So yeah, bright bars are the bane of my existence. I hate them. Hate them so much. Like,
turn you should start an Instagram account for that.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, yeah. Anonymous definitely isn't me. But sure. So light and then good sound, you know, it's funny. And you know, this is a sound medium, but you know, even when you're doing videos, you can generally watch some grainy footage if the sound's okay. But if you watch 4K footage and the sound is like jumpy and gurgly, then you turn it off immediately. It's more encroaching on your space. So yeah, sound, lighting, and say hello. That's it.
Very simple. All right. And now what makes Jamie Fleming happy in a bar? What gives you the feels?
I love when you can see like effortless excellence. And I suppose that's from having worked in it for so long. But when you see a team just working seamlessly and they're acknowledging you. But then they're also like, you know, making sure that you're seated at the bar, making sure you're topped up with water while they're still doing 10 other things and they're communicating with the people around them, whether verbally or non-verbally. They're introducing you to the person next to that's sitting next to you on the bar if it's appropriate. Like there's that kind of, I think that's what it is at its core. I want to feel hosted. Like I love hosting. Yeah. I love having people around to my house. I think that that's why I've been in this industry for nearly 24 years. Like from putting as much effort as I can into making fucking bruschetta as a 13-year-old through to putting as much effort as I can to trying to match what you're having for dinner with like the correct bottle of wine or, you know, matching your dessert with the correct whiskey. Like, I'm a host at heart and that's what I love. You know, my days off, I invite people around so I can cook and feed them and drink them. Like, do you know what I mean? So I think that that's always what I'm looking for. And if you, it can be a dive bar that just serves tinnies. It can be, you know, it's the most elaborate, ridiculous cocktail bar on the planet. It doesn't matter. If you feel hosted and you feel looked after, then immediately your guard comes down and you can actually enjoy yourself. And that's all I want, because essentially 9 times out of 10, I'm going to be walking in with a good friend of mine. And I don't want to feel like, I hate it when bartenders make themselves the show. I hate it when, you know, there's big, elaborate, ridiculous processes that aren't necessary. Like I'm here to enjoy myself. I'm not here. Like if I wanted a ticket to a show, I'd go to a show. I just want to be hosted by a genuine human. And that's it.
Yeah. I think you do the show with some genuine hosting though as well, right? But you can't just put on this show like I've got the flair bartending moves, but, you know, my drink's taking 10 minutes and you haven't really acknowledged anyone at the bar kind of shit.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it all comes to if that's part of your hosting, then great. But if you're like spouting 10 minutes of history on the fucking Sazerac because you want everybody to know that you know the 10 minutes of history on a Sazerac, I don't care. I want a beer and a shot, thank you. But like if it's part of the whole experience, it's being a host first. And I guess, you know, if that's part of your hosting strategy, then great. And if it's part of the enjoyment of your bar, then fantastic. But you know, and you know how like everyone's smiling when you have a delicious martini in your hand and there's bubbles flying around and they're singing Tequila and Maybe Sammy. Like, you know what I mean? But that's part of the host. That's not the first port of call. You don't walk in there and wait for the tequila song. You walk in there and you're immediately greeted and you're sat and you're getting given a good drink. And that's it. Like,
yeah.
it's all encompassing. So yeah, I feel happiest when I feel like the people care and there's genuine human connection. I guess that's the core of it.
Yeah. That's beautiful, Jamie Fleming. You're a beautiful human yourself.
Oh, thanks, mate.
I'm looking forward to seeing you when I'm up there for the Bartenders Weekender in June, and I'll be up there before then. So I will be stopping in, as I always do, to grab some sherry and whatever tinned goods you may have at the bar. But thanks for joining me on Drinks at Work.
Thank you so much. I'll see you all in June.
Thanks to Jamie for the chat, and thank you to you for listening. As always, if you'd like to leave a rating or a review of the podcast in your podcast player of choice, that's always a great way to support the show. And do visit bartendersweekender.com to check out the 3-day lineup. There'll be over 30 events happening, and you can get your early bird tickets to the Better Bars Summit there as well. Until next time, this has been Drinks at Work from Boothby.